Many people with respiratory infections like bronchitis, upon leaving their doctor's office, end up with a prescription in hand for an antibiotic. How effective is such an approach, and what evidence do we have to support this practice? Two Virginia Commonwealth University doctors, writing in the New England Journal of Medicine, said an exhaustive review of existing research studies and clinical trials turned up no evidence to support prescribing antibiotics for short-term bronchitis. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Richard Wenzel, professor and chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine at the Medical College of Virginia campus at the Virginia Commonwealth University. He is the 2006 to 2008 president of the International Society for Infectious Disease and has written the nonfiction book released last year, Stalking Microbes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you on the air because I was speaking earlier on the show a few weeks back talking about bronchitis and this particular study because invariably people do tend to get a lot of prescriptions for this, especially non-smokers. So what my first question to you is to define what bronchitis actually is, the viral versus bacterial, so people have a good understanding of what the disease entity we're talking about.
Sure. Acute bronchitis is really a clinical term, and we use that to describe a really self-limited disease of the large airways of the lung, characterized by cough without pneumonia. And I want to emphasize that's much different than chronic bronchitis, and patients have emailed me who have cough and sputum production most days of the month, 3 months of the year, and for two consecutive years. So I'm talking about an acute self-limited illness involving the large airways of the lung.
So definitely not including people with chronic obstructive lung disease.
Exactly.
Right. What is the difference, though, between bacterial versus viral bronchitis, and do we see a lot of the bacterial variety, especially in people who don't smoke?
It's really an important question because, first of all, we actually have very few data on what are the causes. We know the causes generally, if we do exhaustive studies, in about half of the cases of bronchitis. And of the known causes, almost all of them are viruses for which we have no therapy. And only uncommonly do we get a disease like pertussis, which is whooping cough, a bacteria for which we want to treat with antibiotics.
It also seems that in my practice, and I have patients who with small children, and they come into the office having gone to another center that was closer to their home at the time with their child coughing, and the child is on an antibiotic because they were told that the child has bronchitis. But when you actually listen to the child and examine them, they don't have bronchitis. They usually have bronchospasm that tends to respond to Ventolin or even has exacerbated their asthma, as opposed to it being bronchitis. So it seems that this word, though, although we have a clinical definition for it, is used pretty much across a spectrum of various disorders.
It's very true. It's a old term, and we do know now from some experimental studies that even a virus like rhinovirus, we thought would be confined to the nose for decades, can occasionally get down into the small airways and cause wheezing. And in fact, it's thought to be one of the triggers for asthma. So in adults, yes, it might cause some cough and occasionally wheezing. And children, as you point out, bronchiolitis, the small airway disease, is quite a bit different than an adult who has bronchitis.
Now, with all this information and what we've talked about, is this what led you to look into this issue a bit more acutely?
Well, both of us, Dr. Alpha Fowler and I, are very much interested in both infections and antibiotic resistance. And so one of the problems that you find initially is we have very little data that anything other than viruses for which we have no therapy. We have a little therapy for influenza during the epidemic season. Mm-hmm. But no other viruses with good therapy. And yet, almost around the world, certainly in developed countries like ours in Canada, 80% of the patients receive an antibiotic when they leave the physician's office. So for the most part, that's total waste.
Now, is that because the criteria for a diagnosis is either not known or the protocols for treating, that is, sometimes when listening to a person's chest, they hear a little bit of wheezing or the patient says, you know, I'm coughing up some green stuff from time to time. Is there a set criteria that can be used to determine whether an antibiotic is really necessary?
you would say statistically, almost always, we'll never need an antibiotic. Now, if somebody had whooping, for example, or particularly post-cough, post-tussive vomiting, where we might suspect that, wow, this could be pertussis, then we might say, yeah, that let's screen. We can do some testing on the sputum or a smear of the of the throat and look for Bordetella pertussis. Even when we have other bacteria that are so-called atypical organisms like Mycoplasma and Chlamydia or Chlamydophila, we have no data in the literature that even treating these self-limited bacterial infections will actually improve the outcome. Now, during the flu season, there's no question that if we screen for influenza or just know that we're in the flu season and we have somebody with a cough and fever, we're likely to have flu. We do have some drugs that will limit the symptoms by about one day.
Now, with respect to your study, what sources of information did you use and how did you synthesize the data?
Well, we actually went to PubMed and looked for anything, certainly in the last 20 to 30 years. We looked at both new and old reviews that we were aware of, and then we went to the Cochrane databases so that we could see what critical reviews have come up with. And then doing all of that and then looking at the reviews of the etiology, we came up with two conclusions, which we really mentioned. One is, you know, we really know very little about the etiology, and what we know is mostly that it's caused by viruses for which we have no therapy. And yet, in a lot of studies here in Europe, we find that the vast majority of patients, 70, 80% or more, walk away with an antibacterial agent. That antibiotic, one, will have no effect on the disease course. Secondly, will cost money. Third, will have side effects in people who will then have to maybe see a physician, maybe incur more cost. And then lastly, if that person really needs an antibiotic in the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that the flora will change in such a way that the organism requiring an antibiotic will now be resistant to the one given for acute bronchitis.
What are the reasons, then, for people being prescribed that antibiotic? How much of this is an expectation that this should be treated on the part of the patient, and how much of this is the physician treating either misdiagnosing or just thinking that I have to do something to treat this patient?
Well, I don't think we know the answer totally to that. I think there are many patients who think that, gee, the cough has been going on now for 5 or 7 days or more. It must be time for an antibiotic. So there are some expectations there, without a doubt. And I think physicians in general, if 80% of patients are receiving an antibiotic, it's a reflex right now, and one that we say it is not based on critical review of the literature. And I think some more comfort for physicians that we might have to take an extra 30 seconds, 60 seconds to explain that we really have a virus here. And we don't have effective therapy. In the future, I think with new rapid diagnostic tests like polymerase chain reaction or PCR, we may know very quickly that this is or isn't an organism for which we have therapy, even hoping that new therapies will come down. So I think there's some confusion on the part of both patient and physician.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans for future studies in this area? Do you plan to look more now at answering that particular question, or are you planning to go in a different direction?
Well, I think what we'd like to do, and talking with our own clinical laboratory people, is to increase our ability to diagnose the viruses that are now being recognized in small studies to cause bronchitis. Metapneumovirus, for example, coronavirus, even rhinovirus. And as an academic center, I would love to see us now screen large numbers of patients with acute bronchitis so we can describe the contributions of each of the viruses and unusual bacteria, and then get a better handle on saying these are the causes. Downstream, we would hope that that might prompt some biotech company or a large pharma to consider testing for antivirals that might help.
Now, for our listeners, what would be your general recommendations on the basis of this study and just in your clinical practice experience when if they're presenting to their physician with a cough that's been there for a while, or just they're at home and right now it's cold season, people are getting these types of infections, what would be in general your recommendations?
Well, I think, first of all, patients ought to know the natural history of acute bronchitis. And the idea is that the median days of cough is surprisingly long. It's probably 2.5 weeks. We're talking 18 days. Expect to cough. The second thing is, unless we're in an influenza season or unless there's some reason to suspect that contact with a patient with pertussis or whooping cough, that antibiotics will not be useful. The third thing is to have an expectation that, in general, when we review the literature, we really find no data support conclusively that cough medicines work. Mm-hmm. And it's particularly disappointing when you have the worst cough with pertussis or whooping cough. However, if the patient has a sense of wheezing or is found to be wheezing, there's a lot of general clinical sense that some beta agonists, some inhalers, will actually help them with their breathing. And that's the one thing that seems to be consistent in a lot of reviews. It's not rigorous data, but it's so widespread that patients improve that wheezing is the one thing we know that mm-hmm. can be treated. Lastly, if someone is coughing for 2.5 to 3 weeks, many clinicians will try some inhaled steroids for 5 to 7 days to cut back on the cough, hoping mm-hmm. that the anti-inflammatory action will actually help them. So again, I would emphasize, know the clinical history, know that medicine is limited, unfortunately, in 2006 and 7.
Well, Dr. Wentzel, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss bronchitis and the difficulties that we face with overprescribing the antibiotics for it, and also a good overview for people to understand how the process works, what the natural history of the disease is, and that may help curtail some of the antibiotic use, and I think that's what's important.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Bye.